Hey, Bible nerds, this is Dr. Manny Arango, and I'm your host for the Bible Department podcast powered by Arma. This podcast follows a Bible reading plan we created to help you read the entire Bible in a year. You can head to the show notes or thebibledepartment.com to download our reading plan and join the journey. To all my fellow pastors, I've got a question for you. Does your city know that your church exists? Listen, I get it. You're preaching, you're leading, you're discipling, you're doing ministry. We are in the same boat. And let's be honest, social media and marketing, not your strong suit, not mine either. And that's probably the last thing on your mind. And that's why we chose to partner with Church Candy Marketing for our church plant, The Garden. We out here, y'all. They help churches get more actual guests walking through the doors on Sunday without you or I having to stress over ads or algorithms or trying to crack the social media code. Right now, Church Candy is helping nearly 400 churches reach their communities with simple invite ads, and it works. It's super effective. I can tell you from firsthand experience. So if you're tired of being your city's best kept secret, how about you do this? Go to churchcandy.com/Manny and book a free consultation, book a discovery call. Their team will break it all down and show you how to start seeing new faces at your church this Sunday. I'm in the trenches with you, trying to grow the church. And how about we just start a whole campaign? No more empty churches. So let's partner with Church Candy and get our churches full for the glory of Jesus. Let's go. Family, welcome to day 72. We are at the end of the book of John, and man, the images and the symbols, the intentionality on John's part is just masterful. We're going to have a fun time in the, 15, 20 minutes that we got to walk through these last couple of chapters of the book of John. Hey, if you haven't done the reading for today, do not miss out. John chapter 18, 19, 20, and 21. We got four chapters to read today. Day 72. If you're on a streak, I'm proud of you. All right. If you've done the reading, let's dive in. First thing we're going to do is context clues. Just going to remind you that Jesus is ushering the power of new creation. And John is writing from a Genesis perspective. He's looking at Jesus through the lens of Genesis and looking at Genesis through the person of Jesus. Okay. There's this ecosystem between Genesis and Jesus and John that's happening. It's freaking awesome. And you're going to see a lot of that stuff kind of come to life today. That's our context. Next, I'm going to give you a barrage of just kind of nerdy nuggets probably for the next like 15 minutes. Just show you parallels like from Genesis in John, John and Genesis, Genesis and John, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Okay. So let's actually go ahead. The first thing that I was thinking of, we'll actually leave it for the very, very last thing that we talk about. It'll be our timeless truth. So let's go to John chapter 19. Okay. John chapter 19. We're going to get day six. Okay. Day six of new creation, day six of original creation. John chapter 19, verse 5 says, "So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, 'Behold the man.'" Okay, behold the man. There we go. That's going to frame this. Behold the man. And what happens on day six of the original creation in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27? We get behold Adam. Okay, so we get behold the man. Okay, on the day six of new creation, parallel to the creation of Adam in day six of the original creation. What else do we have? Okay, John chapter 19, verse 30. We get these words. "When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." Okay, very anti-Gnostic, by the way, if you're tracking. Okay, there's a lot. Gnostic ideas believe that there's no way for the spirit of the living God to have endured the crucifixion. So John makes a point to say that he gives up his spirit at the end of the crucifixion. Okay. So that the crucifixion included not just Gnostics also believed that it was kind of like a hologram of Jesus' body up on the cross. They also believed that it was just the body of Jesus on the cross, but not that God was not involved, that there's no way that God could be involved in suffering. Really, the root of Gnosticism is escapism. And anyone who is bound by escapism does not rock with the idea of human suffering. Okay, so we have in John chapter 19, verse 30, these words, "It is finished. It is finished." Where have we seen those words before? Well, Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, God finished the work of creation. So we're going to get what comes when something is finished. We're going to get Sabbath. And so Jesus is going to spend the seventh day, the day that is holy for Sabbath, Saturday. He's going to spend Sabbath where? In the ground. There's this huge kind of tension between Jesus and the religious leaders all throughout the Gospels, but really you can feel it when you're in John's Gospel of why don't you worship the Sabbath? Why don't you honor the Sabbath? Now, A, Jesus did honor the Sabbath according to Torah. He did not honor the Sabbath according to the traditions of religious leaders. So he did not break Sabbath. He broke the religious leaders' interpretations of the fence that was around the Torah, but not the Torah itself. But Jesus is saying, well, the reason I'm not resting, okay, right now, the way that you would like me to do that, is because the reason I'm doing miracles on the Sabbath is because I'm bringing about new creation. And I will rest. And when does he rest? That's right. He rests on day seven, same day that his father rested in the original creation. He's going to rest in the new creation. And then John chapter 20 opens up, and John chapter 20 opens. And what does it say? Now on the first day of the week, on the first day of the week, this is the first day of new creation. It's not just of the week. Talk about an understatement of the century, okay? The first day of the week. It is not just the first day of the week. It is the first day of the new creation. It's the first day of hinge of history, all right? And John chapter 20, verse 15, remember, there's this parallel between John and Genesis. Mary, what does she say? John chapter 20, verse 15, he says these words, "Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him. I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him in Aramaic, 'Rabboni.'" Okay, so rabbi. What does Mary think Jesus is? The gardener, which is, talk about so wrong, but so right. She's wrong because it's Jesus and she didn't recognize Jesus, but she's right in that this man is in a garden and he is the new gardener, the gardener of the new creation. Because what was Adam put in the garden of Eden to do? To tend it and to keep it, which means Adam was a gardener. And here we have the second Adam, who is also a gardener. He's the gardener, not of the original creation. He's the gardener of the new creation. Next, we're going to have Jesus really ushering in the power of the Holy Spirit for the disciples. We're going to go to John chapter 20, verse 22. John chapter 20, verse 22. It says this, starting in verse 20, "When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" So in John's tradition, they get the Holy Spirit in the book, okay? Whereas Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they don't get the Holy Spirit into the book of Acts. But for John, Jesus directly gives them the Holy Spirit. And how does he do it? By breathing on them. Come on, what is that supposed to make us think of? That Yahweh breathes into Adam's nostrils and he receives the breath of life and becomes a living soul, a nephesh, a living being. Okay, so Adam goes from dirt to life because of the animating power of the breath of God. And John wants us to see that the same God that breathed life into Adam is here in the flesh. His name is Jesus, and he's breathing on the disciples so they can receive the Holy Spirit. Also, the other thing that you need to know here is that the word for breath, wind, and spirit are exactly the same, okay, in Hebrew. It's and in Greek, actually. These ideas are all interconnected, so they all have the same word. And so in Greek, that word is pneuma, breath, wind, spirit. So the breath that Jesus, that Yahweh breathes on Adam, animates him, turns him into a living being. But then Jesus breathes on them, and what do they get? The Holy Spirit, okay? Which means that for the believer, for the New Testament believer, for the Christian, that living with the power of the Holy Spirit is just as vital to our life as breath, okay? In the same way that it is impossible to be a living person without breath in your lungs, it is impossible to live as a Christian without the Holy Spirit of God animating us, energizing us, empowering us, invigorating us so that we can obey the word of the Lord, okay? So we get all these links, okay? So I probably gave you 5-6 nerdy nuggets in a row. I mean, we got context, we got nerdy nuggets, we got links everywhere, okay? John is telling us about a new Genesis, and he's saying that this new creation is here. It's broken into the world, that Jesus has been planted like a seed in the earth, and that he's come out of the grave. Here's another nerdy nugget, okay? The resurrection is why Christians worship on Sunday instead of Sabbathing on Saturday. If any Seventh-day Adventists try to like convince you that Saturday is the day that we should worship, blah, 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 just let them know. No, Jesus rose on the grave on Sunday. And Christians since Jesus' resurrection have been worshiping on Sunday because Jesus rose from the grave. And we believe that every week is Easter. We're celebrating resurrection every Sunday. We want people to come to life in Christ every single Sunday. We want Lazarus to come out of the grave every single Sunday. We want people that are in dead religion and dead marriages and dead relationships and in dead debt to death to come out of their graves every single week. We want people to make decisions for Christ. We want resurrection power in our churches every single week. So early Christians definitely made a cognizant effort or intentional decision to switch their day of worship from Saturday to Sunday because of what happened on that Sunday, where Mary goes to the grave thinking that she's going to anoint the body of Jesus, but finds a mysterious figure who she rightly and wrongly thinks is the gardener. Bible nerds, I have an announcement. My brand new book, Crushing Chaos, releases May of 2025, and pre-orders are officially open. When I began to learn Genesis in its proper context, I learned that the creation account is not primarily about God creating something out of nothing, but rather God bringing divine order to the chaos of the cosmos. That one nugget was a game changer for me, because I've been preaching to all the kids in my youth group that peace was a solution for their anxiety. But really, God's solution to chaos is never peace, but rather order. Peace isn't something that you stumble into, it's something that you intentionally step into. And that starts with aligning your life with God's order. I think that this book is a game changer. It's nerdy, it's practical, it provides a very contextual understanding of the book of Genesis, and if you grab a copy, you'll learn why there's a huge dragon on the cover. Head to the link in the show notes to pre-order, or head to crushingchaos.com to see the really dope trailer that we made for this book. I think it's time for you to crush the chaos in your life, and that starts with grabbing a copy of this book. Now, back to the podcast. All right. Last thing, okay, here's our timeless truth, is we're going to actually compare chapter 18:18 with John chapter 21, verse 9. We're going to compare John chapter 18:18 with John chapter 21, verse 9. So if you want to grab those, we're going to see one word repeated two times. And this is the only time in the entire Bible where we're going to see these words, okay? The author, John, the author of this gospel, wants us to link these moments, okay? It says this. Verse 18 of chapter 18. Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them standing and warming himself. So when Peter denies Jesus, there's a charcoal fire. I don't know if you ever smelled a charcoal fire. Very distinct. Charcoal has a very distinct smell to it. I don't know if you've ever like smelled something and it brought you back into time. I remember, you know, there's certain smells that I smell. I'm like, oh, I'm back at my grandparents' house. Or like you smell something and you're like, oh yeah, man, like my girlfriend from like college had that perfume. Like it immediately brings you back, right? Smell is connected to memory. And so Peter denies Jesus three times at a charcoal fire. And had Jesus not pursued Peter, it's a wrap. I mean, Peter's sin is worse than that of Judas. There's no way that Peter is reinstating himself. But Jesus comes after Peter and says this in verse 9 of chapter 21. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the boat ashore. Okay, so Jesus has intentionally built what? A charcoal fire. Not to remind Peter of his guilt, but to recreate the scene and to bring this moment of the denial back to his memory, but then to replace the memory with a new memory of that same smell. That now I'm going to forgive you and commission you. And what am I going to commission you to do, Peter? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, okay? Take care of my sheep. I'm going to commission you to be a good shepherd. And in the same way that you denied me three times, I'm going to commission you three times with three distinct but overlapping assignments. Take care of my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. So Peter gets a threefold commissioning because there was a threefold denial, and Peter gets it. Oh, he gets it. Jesus has made a charcoal fire and it smells exactly like it smelled the night that I denied him. And for Jesus, in any moment past this where Peter smells a charcoal fire, he does not want Peter to remember his mistake or his failure or the moment that he denied Jesus. He wants Peter to remember the moment that Jesus forgives, commissions, and sends him out to actually be a shepherd that represents him. All right. So we got context clues. Man, we got a lot of nerdy nuggets. We got a whole lot of those today. And we got a timeless truth. What's the timeless truth? God redeems memories. He gives you new memories, and he always commissions. There's a lot of us who would think, man, Peter should have like, you know, a season of discipline, like, you know, like sit him down for a little while. I came from a church that would like sit people down. Nothing wrong with sitting people down. But for Jesus, there's no timeout. There's no getting sat down. It's go time. Okay. I've trained you. And now I'm commissioning you to be the leader that you're called to be. And you have to believe that you're forgiven. And the word of forgiveness follows the action of commissioning, okay? So there's not separate things for Jesus. Forgiveness is commissioning. And I think there's a lot of Christians who have gotten commissioned by Jesus to be active, to go do something, to go serve, to volunteer, to be on staff, to evangelize, to witness, to whatever, whatever that fill in the blank is. And because of guilt and because of shame, you haven't actually done what Jesus commissioned you to do. And so our timeless truth of the day is to remind you that you are commissioned. And wherever there's been a charcoal fire of shame, we want there to be a charcoal fire of forgiveness. Whatever that moment is, then we want the power of God to come into your life and to begin to make things new, like for you. So I pray that over you. There definitely been moments in my life where God has done that for me. I've not always gotten it right. Not at all. I get it wrong a lot, actually. And I've needed the forgiving power of Jesus to forgive me, but then remind me that my mistakes have not disqualified me from the call. And that I'm still called, and that this God is gracious enough to not just forgive me, but to commission me out into a world that needs people who have made mistakes.
because grace is not a concept or an idea, it's a lived experience. And I'm able to communicate that grace when I'm able to tell people, hey, I denied him. Yeah, he got crucified and I wasn't even there. I can imagine Peter telling the story, but then telling the story of how Jesus sought him out, Jesus redeemed his memories, Jesus brought healing, and Jesus did not revoke the commission, the call in his life, but actually pushed him into his purpose, even when he probably didn't believe in himself. So with that, we end John's gospel, and now we move tomorrow into John's epistle. So we're going to get into 1 John tomorrow for day 73. 72 days down. If you're on a streak, don't break it. And if this is helpful, share it with people. Let people know that they can start the journey whenever. 72 days down, a lot of days to go. I'm so proud of you. I'll see you right here tomorrow. Love you guys. Peace. Thanks so much for joining us on the Bible Department podcast. You can find us online and learn more about the show at thebibledepartment.com and on Instagram at the Bible Department. If you enjoyed this episode and want to dive deeper into the Bible, you can get free access to our library of courses at thebibledepartment.com. We'll see you back here tomorrow.